Thanks, Jackie. Welcome, councillors. Welcome to members in the public gallery for council meeting 9th at 11th, 2021. We'll obviously start security procedures at the commencement of the meeting. Chairman will advise that. Evacuation details and information are located on the wall near the entry to the chambers. In the unlikelihood of an emergency evacuation, alarm will sound and evacuation wardens will assist with the evacuation. When directed, everyone will be required to exit in orderly fashion through the front doors and go directly to the evacuation point, which is in the car park at the side of the town hall. Over the page. So we have those that are present. We have nil apologies. In attendance are listed as such. Moving on to the confirmation of the minutes. Would somebody like to move? Somebody like to second? Councillor Kelly has moved. Somebody like to second that the minutes of the previous council meeting be received and confirmed? Councillor Friedrich. Thank you. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. And against? Councillor Temple, I guess you are for. Your hand came up at the very end, but you are for, I imagine. Thank you. Sorry, was there any against? Abstaining. Thank you. Councillor Sinfield. So council workshops held since last meeting. You've got obviously announcements by the Mayor. Are there any other announcements by councillors? Councillor Sheriff.
I have an announcement.
Thank you.
I'd just like to acknowledge the Mayor's 35 years long service with the Tasmanian Fire Service. I think he gets dragged through the water and coals quite often through the newspaper, and I doubt there'll be anything in the Gazette about that achievement, so I just wanted to acknowledge that he's volunteered for 35 years, and good on him.
Thank you, Councillor Sheriff, and I should also acknowledge that you received an award that night for long service, so this sounds like politics, doesn't it? No. And I think, actually, as I said on the night, I'll take this opportunity to say it again. The Tasmanian Fire Service actually breeds leaders in our community, because every town in every part of Tasmania has a fire brigade, and there has to be a fire brigade chief, and there has to be men who are officers, or sorry, women who are officers, and that creates leadership in your own town. And through that process, you become a leader whether you actually want to or not. So thank you for that, Councillor Sheriff. I appreciate that. Any other announcement by councillors? No. Declarations of interest? Sorry, Roddy.
I haven't firmly made up my mind, but I think I'm abstaining from one of the closed agenda items. Do you want to know that now or later?
Paper, have we got our declaration of interest form in your red folder? There should be one. You decide before we get to closed session. Thank you. Any tablings or actions on petitions, General Manager?
None.
Thank you. Heading over into public question time. Public question time. We've got questions that were taken on notice that are in the agenda that have been answered. I do apologise. I didn't hear Heather Donaldson question properly last time. So my answer was probably not as it should have been, but my apologies on that one. So the response is in the questions there. Public questions with notice?
Nil.
Public questions without notice? We've got a late one that's not in our agenda. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It'll be in the minutes.
It'll be in the minutes.
Councillor, just relating to climate change.
So it is there on the screen. There's a late one that came in from Chris Donaldson. Thursday, Friday. So therefore it was after the our agenda had gone to print. The GM has responded. It will be in the minutes next meeting. Alright, moving. Any questions from the public? No questions. Thank you. Councillor question time. Questions taken on notice, there were nil. Councillor questions with notice, there were nil. Oh, sorry. Councillor questions without notice. Thank you. Councillor White. Four. Mike, for you. Thank you, Deb.
So the first one is about the survey requested by Carrick residents. So could the GM tell us when the survey of residents will be distributed?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. The survey we're aiming to have finalised for the week of the 22nd of November and subject to some final determination around the timing of that, we'll have the survey letters out and responses open until the 15th of December. We may extend that based on some early discussion today. And we will have a councillor pop-up at Carrick on or around the 8th of December, subject to confirmation with the councillor's availability.
Thanks. My question number two is also for the General Manager. Can you tell us at which council workshop the item concerning council's climate policy will be scheduled?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor, that'll be scheduled for the February workshop next year.
Thank you. In the NTDC report forwarded last month, on page 8, it's you'll find on page 8 part of the regional priorities plan, and it says that Council's preparing a submission concerning the biodigester plant to go to the NDTC. But then in other documents like the annual plan, I see what I think might be conflicting information. So could you clarify as to where that project is at, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, Council, the NTDC stuff really relates to the projects of regional significance and the biodigester or biowaste, bioenergy, call it what you will, plant proposed for Valley Central is a long-standing agenda. It is an emerging project in that regional context. One of the issues is preparing a succinct prospectus, for want of a better word, that allows us to have conversations with industry players. Because it would be a public-private enterprise and subject to federal government support. We've prepared a document towards that. It's not ready yet. One of the things that I'm looking at is our capacity as an organisation to progress that, given our current workload and demand for our resources. Progress the submission and also the lobbying that needs to go along with that. Yep.
Good. Sorry.
Any time frame on that?
Look, it's a project that has been in existence for about 4 years in terms of talking about it. What I'd like to do is bring that back to a future workshop and ask the question as to whether or not Council remains committed to that, and if so, what does the way forward look like? Because it's one thing to talk about these things, but it is a $15 or $20 million project. I think from a technical point of view, it's very achievable. From a funding point of view, remains to be seen. And certainly it's not a project that can be progressed with the resources in-house. So if Council are serious about it, then we have to look at the how we bring that sort of ambition to reality, but from a technical point of view, it makes sense.
Could I also add, Councillor, that every chance that we get, be it state election or federal election, the bioenergy biodigester concept is put up on a regular basis for funding going forward, and it's something that I've been pushing, and also NTDC have got on their list. So it hasn't dropped off. I guess it's just doesn't seem to be a take-up of it at the moment for a reason. So just want to add to that.
So can the General Manager tell us which workshop that item will be at?
Look, I'll take it on notice, but to me, I'd actually think it is in some shape or form a companion to our climate change discussion. And certainly our waste strategy discussion as well, because we talk about bioenergy, but really it's a waste management strategy as well. Yep. So I'll aim for February, but it might be March, but I'll confirm later on.
Thank you. And my last question concerns, is also makes reference to the Council's commitment to support the Youth Advisory Council and encouraging young people as leaders. So although there are already initiatives afoot, could we revisit the idea of having representatives from Year 11 and 12 in the Meander Valley to participate in relevant workshops? Because we did have this happen once, and everybody was very enthused about the result of having the viewpoint and the energy of some young people of the Meander Valley. So the question is, can we include youth in some of our workshops?
I'll answer that one. Yes. I don't know when, but yes, we will, and take that on notice that we will absolutely encourage young to come.
So could I suggest we could aim for the Climate Council workshop? It would be a good one to have young people involved in, so I'll throw it out there.
Take that on notice. Thank you, Councillor. I'm sure Councillor Temple has one. Any other councillors? Councillor Sinfield, before we go to Councillor Temple.
I'd normally just ask this privately of the director, but it probably affects to a greater or lesser extent an entire community, and that is Blackstone Heights. If the committee there is raised with me, but as I say, it goes to everyone. They were concerned about the state of the road heading in to Blackstone Heights, pretty well near the settlement ponds, and it is the fact that the tar has come up to the surface, and at certain times of the day, either at night or late afternoon, etc., they're finding it less than desirable in terms of navigation. So I guess my question is, through you, Chair, to the General Manager, is there any treatment that can be done? I know it's a question probably taken notice, but is there any treatment that can be done that might alleviate or that problem, or will we investigate it and see if there are any solutions that, short of rebuilding the road, that might address that issue?
Yeah, get the microphone. Anyways.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Director Works, Matthew Millwood. Councillor Simple, thanks for the question. We resealed the road about 3 to 4 years ago, approximately, and that's when the concern was first raised by the by some residents. And the road bled following heavy traffic use, so basically it striped down the traffic lanes. Since then, I mean, yes, the surface is basically... There's some shiny patches on the wheel lines, but in terms of concern with further bleeding, I'm not aware of it. So the road as such, you may comment about needing to start again, dig up the road or whatever the case is. It's a seal, it's a wearing course, so it doesn't require that. But I'm happy to provide further feedback at a later date to council, either through workshop or something on the situation. But at the moment, I'm not aware of any issues apart from what happened at that point in time.
Thanks. Thank you. Matthew. That's it?
Yes. No, that's fine.
Okay, councillors. Councillor Temple, you will have a question, I'm sure. Please. You're muted. Well, we can't hear you, councillor. Why not? I can guess. I know what the question is.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just my usual question. Is there any update on the proposed prison for the Meander Valley?
I have seen nothing, Councillor Temple, from any department of government on the proposed prison.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Nothing as well, Councillor.
Thank you. Any other questions, Councillor, questions without notice? Take that as no. Deputations by members of the public. Neil. Okay, so we're heading into planning authority. So for the purpose of considering the following planning authority items, council is acting as a planning authority under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. The following applicable to all planning authority reports. So planning authority one is not on our agenda. It will come to council at a later date. We now move on to planning authority two, which is on page 155. And I will ask if somebody would like to move the Councillor Kelly as it sits. A seconder for the motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Kelly as the mover of the motion.
I think this is going to be interesting discussion around the table with other councillors, so I'll open it up and do a closing.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Cameron is the seconder of the motion.
Thank you. We had a little bit of a discussion about this in the workshop, and I'm not really sure. I take it there was no one there to speak on this. Did we say
no? There is no one to speak.
No.
For
okay. Me. Yeah. Well, I think I say quite often that I have reservations with the density of unit developments such as this. I mean, it just doesn't sit well with me. To cut off and build units behind a house like this, but I would be interested to hear the rest of the discussion. I mean, if it was me, I would like to see less units in that space and allow for some more room to breathe, probably. But yeah, I'm happy to hear thoughts from the other councillors at this stage.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. So, open for discussion and comment, councillors. Any comments, any discussion? Councillor White, please.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am concerned about the density of the development, but I understand that the planners have analysed all the discretionary items and made their decision based on how it relates to the planning scheme. However, when I had a look at the performance criteria, just get my head around this, the staff have deemed that paragraph A says not cause an unreasonable loss of amenity to adjoining properties, and then of course we get into the specifics about reduction to sunlight, overshadowing, etc., visual impacts caused by the apparent scale bulk of the proportions of the development when viewed from an adjoining property. Based on that clause, I would say that the units 2 and 3, they've been granted a 1.5 setback. The actual setback is 2.2. What is the actual setback normally required to the rear boundary? Anyway, they've got a dispensation.
That'll be answered, Councillor, if you want to take that answer.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. So the particular discretion that's been invoked in relation to that provision, which is the building envelope provision, relates to Unit 2 and Unit 3.
Yeah.
So the requirement is 1.5 metres from that boundary.
Yeah.
Unit 3 is around about 1.39. So uh-huh. We're talking around 1.369, sorry. So that's about 18 centimetres, and it would comply. And similarly with Unit 2, it's around about 1.32 metres, and the requirement is 1.5. Just to elaborate on that a little bit more as well, is it's only required to be 1.5 metres where a wall is greater than 9 metres in length or higher than 3 metres. So in this instance, the combined wall length of Unit 2 and 3 exceeds the 9 metres. Yeah.
That's right. Thank you for clarifying that. And could you clarify the required setback from the western boundary for units 1 and 2? So we have 2.2 metres here. Is that the required setback, and what is the actual setback?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So for units units 1 and 2, the requirement there is also the 1.5 metres.
1.5?
Yes.
So they are within the... they do have the required setback from the western boundary.
They satisfy the building envelope.
Right. Okay, so my response is that with... these are all slight changes or slight dispensations. I know that no one can object to the removal of the Blackwood tree, but I also understand the impact it has on the neighbourhood and people in the neighbourhood. So I am going to vote not to support this application because I think fewer units would allow for greater separation of the units, a proper setback of the carport for Unit 8, and preserve some of the amenity for the neighbourhood.
Thanks, Councillor White. Any other councillors? Councillor King.
This application is not tasteful, nor is it in keeping with the surrounding properties. This is just another example of a developer cashing in at the expense of the amenity of our town. The issues raised by the representatives and their concerns, particularly about density and traffic movements, are valid. There are issues with the applicable building envelope, as described in Figure 8.1 of the planning scheme. If you can't fit the carport in and the boundary setback requirements can't be met, surely this tells us that there are just too many dwellings proposed in the available space. Many residents are telling me that they don't like the way the landscape of Westbury is changing, and it's high time we took a stand and actually did something about it. Surely, as an organisation, we can do better than this, and I truly believe that our long-term residents and ratepayers deserve more. If we are to be leaders and innovative, then I urge our staff to be solutions-focused and find a better outcome. And if the existing framework and legislation does not allow for better answers, then let's set about changing it. Threats of losing at Rimpat and costing ratepayers money are getting a bit old now, and sometimes you might need to lose a few battles in order to win the war. I'm tired of being a rubber stamp around this table, so the buck stops about now. Who's with me?
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillors, any other discussion? Councillor Sinfield with your microphone. Thank you.
A question first up. I didn't bring my magnifying glass, so it's a bit hard to it's not hard to ask the question, but I think it's to do with Unit 4 and it has to do with the private open space. Can you tell me, and I know you've said they've all got the minimum amount and you've set out on page 158 the relevant overall dimensions, but on the figure 2 of page 158 there appears to be less than, as I say, I haven't got the magnifying glass to read it, there appears to be less than 4 metres between the boundary and Unit 4 where the private open space is. Is that, as I say, I imagine it will be a similar thing to Units 2 and 3 in that it's only a matter of centimetres, but I just, it was one thing that came to my attention when I was looking at how all this is put together. Unit 4, yes. And it may be that the walls don't line up with the boundary. It might be an issue like that. I don't know. But there's a measurement listed there which I think is 3923. Less than 4, but as I say, is it simply that, because I noticed that I think on another diagram somewhere Unit 5, 4 and 3 aren't actually, if you stood at the end you wouldn't be looking along a straight line, they're slightly offset.
Are you looking at this here?
To have private space you must have a minimum distance in one direction of 4 metres.
Very minor, Councillor. Are you actually asking a question to this?
Has that been taken into account? Is that just an error on my part. As I say, in a sense, there's no more significance than the distance on the eastern on the side of units 2 and 3. But given that it's something like that, yes. But it's whether it's been assessed or not.
Do you have another question while that's being considered? It's for them as well?
Probably goes to them. And probably nothing turns on it, but the carport sits out to unit 8, the existing house sits out in front, and that exercises a discretion, doesn't it? How do you get from the carport into the house? Is there a door on that side? And I guess my question is, it's more rhetorical, but if you had the carport round near unit 7, then you wouldn't have invoked that discretion in the first place. One would have thought. But the application is what it is.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the question. So the measurement on the plan, on the same site plan, it does have some different annotations of specific things or features that are included in the site plan. So the area of private open space, which is annotated by a dashed rectangle, is to the, we'll say it's to the right of the way that this image is shown. It's to the right of the annotated 3.92 setback. So the assumption there is that the diagram is compliant. Well, the minimum required area of private open space satisfies the 4 by 6 metres as shown on the diagram. If you look at unit 3, that's got a setback that's annotated at 4 metres, so there might be a slight variation in the angle of the eastern wall of unit 4 to that boundary, which is accommodating the 4 by 6 metre and 24 square metre area of private open space. So So the assumption that, given that it's been shown on the site plan, which has been prepared and scaled, that the minimum requirement's been satisfied.
Thanks, George. Second question was?
My second question was to do with, given that we're looking at performance criteria to satisfy the carport, it is the application that's before us, of course, but was there anything that would have prevented that carport from having been round on this diagram on the northern side, if you like, of unit 8, say between unit 8 and unit 7, and hence only using the one driveway and not invoking that discretion in the first place? As I say, it is the application that's before us, but there's nothing you're aware of that would have prevented that carport instead being around on the diagonally opposite side.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Nothing's preventing it necessarily. As you pointed out, it's the application that's been put forward, so we've assessed it on its merits. But there's nothing specifically saying that it couldn't be there under the planning scheme.
And that wasn't likely to have been taken.
Thanks, Councillor. I think the question's been answered.
No.
Now the question, Councillor Sheriff.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I can't say that I love the development, but in saying that, I don't have to live there, and I wouldn't live there. I can't agree with Councillor King's comment that it doesn't fit in with the rest of the surrounding area, because there's actually 5 units on the back fence of that development. I also consider the 8 units that are on the back of my father's place in Westbury. on a very small area, and his house backs onto them, and you don't actually see them. You don't actually know that they're there. They're internal like this. So from the street, I'd very much doubt they'll be seen. And we have got a shortage of housing, so I can't see a big problem with it. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor. For my comments on this, we sit here as a planning authority, as somebody who has got to look at the rules that have been put on us by the state government. Our planners didn't come up with these rules. This is the Tasmanian Planning Commission rules. Correct me if I'm wrong, Krista. Tasmanian Planning Scheme. This is not the Meander Valley Scheme. This is the Tasmanian Planning Scheme. So our staff can only interpret the rules that are set by that scheme, and they can only interpret those rules with applications that are put in front of us, put in front of them, which are then put in front of us as a planning authority. Now, we can agree or disagree, but unfortunately, our hands are tied as to the way we look at these developments. And it is very well to say there should be one unit less and it would make all the difference. It would. But that's not what's before us today. What's before us today is what's before us, and that's what we have to make our decision on. So criticising staff, I don't think, is the right way to go about it. We do need, if the people of Westbury are that concerned, they need to lobby us, and we will go back to the Tasmanian government on this. We are looking at doing a survey at Carrick, and I've got to say, at the Local Government Association meeting last week, it was certainly spelled out very clearly to the Minister for Planning that they are their rules that they want another authority to implement, which is not always right or fair. But I will be supporting this as it sits at the moment. Thank you. Councillors, any more discussion? Councillor White?
Just like to make a comment. Several of the representers mentioned how upset they'd be at the loss of the Blackwood tree and talked about habitat and that it's the only big tree in the area. I would suggest that they don't really have any power to tell the owner of that site what to do with that tree, but what they could do is plant some trees elsewhere. It's the only big tree left standing. It might be a heads up for the residents of that area to get planting.
Thanks, Councillor. Okay, I'm going to wrap up. If anybody else has any comments, I'll go back to the seconder of the motion, which was Councillor Cameron.
No, probably just a comment as well, and I think probably just further to Deb, had Councillor White mentioning there the tree. I mean, why this may fit within the rules, I guess I'm saying to the developer, why this may fit within the rules, just, you know, it's really important to be mindful of your neighbours and how it'll affect them. So I think going as far as making some landscaping and trying to make things as pleasurable as possible for them would be a very good decision on their behalf.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Kelly has the move of the motion.
Thanks, Mayor. Look, I thank fellow councillors for the conversations. We've all got different opinions and thoughts on this. The Mayor pretty much summed most of it up as to what I was going to actually say, and Councillor Sheriff. We've had these in front of us before, and I think it's extremely important for developers that we maintain consistency. Unless something else has changed, the council staff or our planners have assessed it, and it is their opinion that it ticks all the criteria. Yes, I don't think anyone likes to see them jammed in like that. There must be an appetite and a demand out there, because there seems to be more and more of these types of developments coming before us as council. Unless something changes that our council staff can assess, I find it very difficult to go against their opinion, knowing on how much work they put into it, and they operate within the rule book, and I thank them very much for that. This one's not a straightforward one. I'll be supporting it.
Okay, on that basis then I will put the vote, so all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. All those against, please say aye and raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. That is 5 against. The motion is lost. Thank you. you need to put a reason up as to why the motion is lost. Somebody like
people who refused.
We need to put a reason in that we can go
That's
to.
That's right. Okay. Well, I'll just return to my earlier remarks that the dispensations needed for the setback to the rear boundary.
Councillor, we actually need a motion to refuse.
Oh, beg your pardon. Well, I'll put the motion that.
Not a motion?
No.
That's
we
what
just
I
need
thought.
Reason. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Right, that's all right. Okay, so I will repeat my earlier comments in that the dispensations required for the setback to the rear boundary and also to the carport in front of Unit 8 are slight, but together they add up to considerable loss of amenity to adjoining properties. Therefore, I'm not supporting the motion.
We can adjourn. Yep, we'll adjourn while this is brought together. Okay, councillors, bring you to order after that delay. So, just a clarification from some councillors, Jim, as to why we now have to have a alternative motion moved. It is because of, and Krista may be able to answer this better, or Jackie, or it's a fresh motion, but there has been querying as to why just a refusal would need to go down the path we're going now.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So the reasoning behind it is there has been litigation that other councils have gone through where they've had a situation, a motion has been on the table, a motion to approve, the motion is lost, and the councillors have gone, great, we've made our decision to refuse. But because the motion did not affirmatively say that it was a refusal motion, it is not considered for the purposes of LUPA to be a decision. That means that as soon as this meeting convenes, the planning authority has failed to make a decision and it becomes a deemed approval. So in order to prevent that, all we need to do today is for a councillor to move a motion and for that to be seconded and for it to be carried that affirmatively says that the motion is going, sorry, that the application is going to be refused. I know that's a little bit technical, but just to keep us out of any mess.
Thank you, Jackie. Okay, with the motion that's in front of us there now, would somebody like to move the motion that is in front of us? Councillor White, a seconder, please. Councillor King has the mover of the motion. Councillor White, do you have any comments?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My comment is that these reasons or the failure to satisfy the clauses below, they are slight, but they cumulatively add up to what we would say in plain terms is looks like overcrowding. And so although I take Councillor Kelly's point about the need to be consistent, I personally think that we need to be consistent in preventing overcrowding of properties the way, you know, the way development occurs.
Thanks, Councillor White. Councillor King is seconder of the motion.
Look, I'm certainly not against development and the need for affordable housing. But perhaps a unit or two less would certainly enhance the appeal of the development. So I'm happy to support Councillor White's motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillors, any discussion? Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, look, I thank fellow councillors, particularly for their approach, even though I have a different viewpoint. So I won't be supporting this motion.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just heard Councillor King's comment and agree with what she said, but this does not include that information. It does not include that information. It's Councillor King mentioned that a unit or two less would help the development.
That's true, Councillor Temple, but are you actually on that basis, are you
No, I just what are we implying by what we say? If the developer could move away from the back fence and not have a carport for Unit 8, would that satisfy council? Is that what we're implying by what we're saying here?
I can't answer that question, councillor. I don't know. The motion is there in front of you. Hopefully you can read it, councillor.
Yep. The motion. All right, yes, I'm happy to support the motion.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Sinfield.
Yeah, I'd just state that we've addressed the terms of what the planning scheme's asking us to do in terms of those two aspects. The other one is a broader discussion and commentary on it, that we probably all feel that less units, more space would be a good thing, and less units, more space would in fact address the two issues that are the reasons that are being proposed for the refusal. You would in fact get away from the certainly in terms of the first clause, less units would provide you with the opportunity to get away from the boundary and have not impact on loss of amenity, etc.
Thanks, councillor. Any other councillors, comments, questions? If not, I'll go back to Councillor King as second of the motion. Councillor White is the mover of the motion.
Yes, I obviously we all understand that we have to make decisions based on the planning scheme, but we are here as councillors to represent the interests of the community, and our role in matters like this as councillors is to interpret those requirements, and I think that's what we have done today.
Thanks, councillor. So on that basis, I will put the motion. All those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand and say aye. Councillor Temple, I can't see it from where I am. Councillor Cameron, I can't see. No, okay, thank you. That's 5. All those against, please raise your hand. So, all right, that's 4 against. Motion is carried as it sits at the moment. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank you for those in the gallery. Planning Authority 3.
I'll move it.
Oh, thanks, Steph. I was just letting everyone get settled. Thank you. She moved it. Somebody like to move? Councillor Cameron has moved. Somebody like to second the motion? We are looking at page 301, Planning Authority 3. Councillor Friedrich, thank you. Councillor Cameron as the mover. You're still...
Thank you. I don't have a lot to say other than it, I've read the representations both for and against, and look, my main concern would have been if there was impact on traffic, and I don't believe there will be, so at this stage I'm happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Friedrich, let's move it. Second up. Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor King.
I don't love the idea of encroaching on setback limits. They're there for a reason. However, in this climate of increasingly working from home and the enterprise with small business, I'm in this instance, I'm going to say that I'm happy to support.
Thanks, Councillor King. Any other councillors? Councillor White.
I have a question in my mind about this. Again, another development that requires dispensation to encroach on the setbacks, and I just wonder why the applicant doesn't plan to comply with the setbacks. I think it will create what should I say, visual amenity from a neighbouring property is the one I'm after. Visual impacts caused by apparent scale, bulk or proportions when viewed from an adjoining property. And I think the representation we've got is an expression of that, and I would much rather see the development scaled down so that the applicant can comply with the requirement for that particular setback.
Thanks, Councillor White. Any other discussions, councillors, questions? Councillor Sinfield.
Yes, again, it's hypothetical, but not the application before it. Was there sufficient room on the eastern side of, northeastern side of photo 4, for example, on page 311 to have sighted the development there and still met the private open space requirement of 24 square metres? Did anyone consider that? As I say, it's not the application before us, but what I'm suggesting is that that might have fitted in with the building line in between the two units, not presented the issues that we've got before us in terms of impacting on the frontage and the corner and all the other issues that we're looking at.
That's actually a hypothetical question, Councillor, because we can only look at the plan that's in front of us at the moment, and you're asking the planners to give a view on something that's not in front of us.
Yes, but my first words were it is hypothetical.
It is hypothetical, so I won't allow it, so
but,
thanks.
But what I'm asking is there anything from a planning point of view that would have prevented such a consideration taking place?
That is still a hypothetical question, Councillor, and I won't allow it. Thank you. I won't allow it, Councillor. I'm not allowing the question, Councillor. Thank you. Any other questions, Councillors? Comments? Councillor White?
Yes, I'd just like to clarify that I absolutely support the applicant and her desire to run a business from home, and I'd certainly like to support that. I'd be much happier if she was able to design the business premises to comply with the setback.
Thanks, Councillor. Another discussion. I'll go back to the seconder of the motion, Councillor Frydrick. Any discussion? Thank you. Councillor Cameron is the mover.
No, nothing to add. Thank you.
Okay, on that basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Got those, Chloe? Yep. All those against, please say aye. Raise your hands. That's 1, 2, 3. 6, was it? Who did I miss out on? Sorry. Oh, sorry. I thought I got Steph.
I was 4.
Yeah, sorry, 3 against.
Yeah.
Thank you, motion carried. Over the page to governance 1, page 357. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. As recommended at council, Councillor Kelly.
Mr. Mayor, are we moving out of planning mode?
Yes.
Yes, you're moving out of planning.
Yeah, we're moving out of planning, yes. Yes, yes, we are, John. We're in the governance 1, John, which is 357. Unless there's something else in planning I missed.
No.
I don't have to say the new one, do I? Righto, so Councillor Kelly's moves, Councillor King. So Councillor Kelly, any discussion as the mover? Councillor King.
Happy to see a more streamlined and tabulated, easy to read format for the plan in comparison to previous plans. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillors, any other discussion? Comments? Councillor White.
Give me a second. I've got a few comments. In paragraph 2.1 and 2.2, now I'm not sure of my, I haven't got page numbers of the annual plan. 2122.
Page 362 on our agenda.
And I've just got to get my head around this. 2.1, 2.2. It's the item I've got here is called Develop and Cost a Branding and Marketing Strategy to Support Promotion of Meander Valley as a Lifestyle Tourism and Investment Destination. So that would be pertaining to the... Well, I'm not sure if it's pertaining to Short Wharfs or not. What is it? Sorry, I'm a bit hard to find the...
So it's on 362.
It's on 362. Second from the bottom. Yeah, thank you very much. Took a minute to find. Yeah, it's okay. I've got it now. Thank you. So my question, I've got a question about that, as to when the community consultation phase is included in that process, because it seems to me it's a little bit tricky. The timing of community consultation is a bit tricky. You've got to have something to consult on, but if it goes too far, people feel as though they... it's gone ahead without them being consulted. So, yes, there's a question there about community consultation.
There is a question of community consultation. There's also, through to you, Mr. Mayor, there is a question of community consultation, and you rightly point out, Councillor, it's about when and what we should be consulting on. The marketing and branding is linked to tourism, and promoting Meander Valley as a destination. It has, as it indicates there, a codependency with the Short Wharfs in that what we develop for the overall promotion of Meander Valley needs to dovetail in with the Short Wharfs and vice versa. So what we've done last year is talk to Todd Babiak from Grand Tasmania and had some initial discussions around how we would promote Meander Valley, and we've just got to work that process through into a project at this stage. So there's no meat on the bones of that.
When would you see the community consultation phase occurring?
Not this financial year, probably. We'll, as it indicates, we'll start this in quarter four next year, so March onwards, and so we'll look at it in that quarter. And I think it'll dovetail into consultation in the first instance around the renewal of community strategic plan. Yeah.
Thanks, Councillor. Other questions, councillors? Councillor Sinfield?
Yeah,
yes. Microphone, please, Councillor.
It's an easy to read document. On page 369, the fourth item down, deliver capital works projects in line with the 2021-22 programs. Could we get an answer on or how we've delivered 6 projects to completion, 10 projects are currently under construction, and there's 108 in total in the current capital works program. How is that tracking in terms of other years? You know, if somebody in the community reads that, are they going to be startled by it or whatever? It's not a criticism at all, but it's simply saying how does that reflect year on year, given that you have to get a project started and before you can do it, etc., etc.
Oh, look, I think through you, Mr. Mayor, Councillor, this just reflects, I guess, the typical initial kickoff in terms of quarter one. You'll see a gathering of speed and delivery in the subsequent quarters, quarter 2, 3 and 4. There is a risk in this particular year that is different to past years, and that's the availability of contractors and the expense of materials and services in relation to this. So we're not concerned with the program as it is, but we are wondering about the impact of those issues in the later part of the year, because as we go to tender, as we have to wait for materials and contractors to be available,
that's going to be a very challenging circumstance for this year and probably the year after. That is quite different to previous years. So, Dino, have you got anything?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. This is probably the first time we started to report in our annual plan quarterly around some metrics in terms of completion, what's in progress. So rather than just repeating in previous years, we've just sort of said, you know, the program's in progress, it's in progress. So just trying to provide some more metric around that just so we can measure as we move forward. So we probably don't have data by quarter for previous years to answer your question in terms of comparison. Yep.
Okay, Councillor Frederick.
There's still 100 projects on the books. Can we divide the projects as a long-term, short-term, medium-term? Because some do not need the builders and the plumbers and whatever. So it'll be good to see what a list of the project and sort of a timeline for them. If I'm explaining myself correctly.
Yeah, through Mr. Mayor, at the start of the financial year, we sat down and prepared some program information. Might have been ambitious back in June in terms of time frames, but it certainly gave us a bit of an indication in terms of the projects we wanted to get out to market early, and, you know, in terms of where we needed external support. There's a range of projects that Matthew's Works Department tackles, and they generally will do that over the finer months in terms of weather to tackle that. So yes, we can certainly come back, and in our briefing report we provide information in terms of each project and the status, so we can certainly add some more information in that to give councils.
As a part of that question, my point is that if we increase the number of completed projects for the image that we represent out there, that we are actually doing something rather than 8 out of 108. It doesn't matter what it says, but it says 36 out of 100. That already sounds a lot better.
And sorry, just finally, I was going to add, and there's a lot of variation in the capital works program. There's a lot of projects that actually don't get completed. They're just essentially a holding project for funding, which might be for footpath programs, stormwater constraints. So there's always going to be some fluctuation within. Yep.
Okay. Councillor King. Microphone, please, Councillor.
Sorry, in response to Michael's question, I concur that that information is useful, but possibly not relevant for this particular report. We do get that information in other means of communication. So in defence of our directors in this case. No. I think... We do all look
like
good.
Thanks,
Councillor. Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, I'd just sort of extend the explanation provided by Councillor King. This is a headline statement. I understand how someone in the public may look at that and look at, you know, 6-10 projects against a denominator of 108. There's a very clear and valid explanation around that performance, and as I said, quarter one, you start to ramp up, you're doing your planning, you're doing stuff. You're not actually building and completing in that quarter. But we can certainly, as well as the briefing report, we can certainly provide periodic updates in workshops if required.
Thanks, Jim. Councillors, anything else? If not, I'll go back to the second of the motion, Councillor King. Any discussion? Nope. Councillor Kelly is the mover. No. All right. I put the motion and as it stands, all those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. That's everyone around this table. And that's everyone, Chloe. Unanimous. Again. Righto. Thank you. So, motion to close the meeting. Councillor Kelly has moved that. Councillor, somebody's going to move second it. Councillor White, thank you, to close this one. All those in favour? Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you.